some outlines. Two I did last semester for after devotion, which is basically the same subjects were covered here, and many of the same verses. So I didn't change that. And then I added a section on Prema Bhakti and a section on Bhakti Ras. Just for the time of death. The Ragatmika Bhaktas are associates of Krishna. So when they're associated with Krishna in Vrindavan, when they're called Ragatmika Bhaktas. Could be Boma when he reaches that stage.
What about the gopis that were still developing, you know, like Devakani gopis and the gopis that were like sadhakas and like developing still, even though they were in Goma Vrindavan with Krishna's prakrti? I mean, then they would be also right on.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda So we've given outlines for Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, Bhava Bhakti, Prema Bhakti, and Bhakti Ras. The verses mentioned in Raganuga Bhakti and Bhava Bhakti are the verse numbers from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. But they follow, they're the same verses that are quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita, but I just use the numbers of the verses as they appear in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, not the numbers of the verses of Chaitanya Charitamrita.
And pages are from Nectar of Devotion?
The page numbers are from Nectar of Devotion. So, we have only two philosophical points to make about the last subject, which is the qualities of Krishna and his devotees. You can read the qualities in Chaitanya Charitamrita. We won't read the qualities here. But we should note that Krishna has 64 qualities. Actually, Krishna has unlimited numbers of qualities. But Lord Chaitanya And Rupa Goswami have enumerated 64 in particular. And perfected living entities can also share in the first 50 qualities. They can also have the same qualities, but not to the same, not in the same quantity, but they can have the same qualities. Then demigods like Lord Shiva can have up to the first 55. Lord Narayan and Vaikuntha can have up to the first 60. But only Krishna and Vrindavan has the last four. So we should know the special qualities that Krishna has that no other incarnation has. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami says that the devotees of Krishna are the best because devotees of other avatars may become attracted to the service of Krishna, but the devotees of Krishna never become attracted to the service of other avatars. And the reason is that is because Krishna has some very special qualities that no other avatars have, even Narayan and Vaikuntha. And therefore Krishna is most attractive. And Krishna is the reservoir of all rasa. Due to the special qualities of Krishna, he can attract the devotees in other rasas that are not found with Narayan and Vaikuntha. And especially Madhurya rasa. So Krishna's beauty, Krishna's extraordinary pastimes with extraordinary devotees, these especially refer to Madhurya rasa. And Krishna's fruit is appreciated in Vrindavan and all rasas, but especially in Madhurya rasa. So just as Krishna is the supreme Vishaya, or object of love, Srimati Radharani is the supreme Ashraya, or container of love. And she is the only one who can fully satisfy the desires of Lord Krishna. And therefore the last quality of Srimati Radharani is that she always keeps Krishna under her control. Because Krishna cannot be controlled by anything except love. And because Srimati Radharani has the greatest love for Krishna, she can control him to the greatest extent. Krishna may be enjoying rasa with other devotees, but if he gets the chance to associate with Srimati Radharani, he will somehow or other take leave from the other devotees. And so I'll just read one description that comes in the 10th canto, chapter 9. Texts 3 and 4. How devotees can meditate on the transcendental feature of Lord Krishna's associates in Vrindavan. Mother Yasoda binds Lord Krishna. Text 3. Dressed in a saffron yellow sari with a belt tied around her full hips, Mother Yasoda pulled on the churning rope, laboring considerably, her bangles and earrings moving and vibrating, and her whole body shaking. Because of her intense love for her child, her breasts were wet with milk. Her face, with its very beautiful eyebrows, was wet with perspiration, and malati flowers were falling from her hair. Purport. They're also attracted to Krishna Katha. Some sages come in the form of pigeons. Anyone who desires to be Krishna conscious in motherly affection or parental affection should contemplate the bodily features of Mother Yasoda. It is not that one should desire to become like Yasoda, for this is Mayavad. Either in parental affection or conjugal love, friendship or servitorship, in any way, one must follow in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Vrindavan and not try to become like them. Therefore, this description is provided here. Advanced devotees must cherish this description, always thinking of Mother Yasoda's features, how she was dressed, how she was working and perspiring, how beautifully the flowers were arranged in her hair, and so on. One should take advantage of the full description provided here by thinking of Mother Yasoda in maternal affection for Krishna. So here, Mother Yasoda is the ashraya of love for Krishna, specifically in motherly affection. And devotees who aspire for motherly affection, they can contemplate on the bodily features and activities of Mother Yasoda. And when the ashraya, or the container of love, come together with the vishaya, or object of love, then the exchange of ras takes place. So here there are two, here especially one deviation is mentioned by Srila Prabhupada. And that is that if the devotee wants to become Mother Yasoda or Nanda Maharaj, then that is Mayavad. Just like if someone wants to become Krishna, that is Mayavad. So similarly, if one wants to become Nanda Maharaj, Yasoda, Subal, Sridham, or any of the direct associates of Krishna, like eternal associates of Krishna, that is Mayavad. So we want to follow in their footsteps, but not imitate them, or not become them.
So would devotees who are practicing or doing like that, would they actually be thinking that I am Krishna's mother or father, or would it be more like I'm the uncle or aunt?
Each devotee has his own taste in devotional service. And motherly affection can be realized in different ways. Someone with motherly affection can take birth as an elderly gopi in Vrindavan, as a neighbor of Yasoda and Krishna. Or someone with motherly affection can take birth or get service as an assistant to Yashoda, who serves Krishna in a motherly mood. Or one can take birth as a calf, and then as a cow, express motherly affection and feed Krishna milk. And it is also possible well, that's a very special case. So these are general cases which living entities can, ways in which they can express motherly affection in different positions. And
what's the special way?
I just wanted to understand a little bit what that deviation was. It's improper to aspire to become like Mother Yashoda, but it's proper to aspire to follow in the footsteps.
Here, like means in the sense of imitation.
Let's say one is aspiring to a Mukuryaras, one can, it seems like Mother Yashoda is a fairly singular personality, whereas there's so many gopis. To aspire for the Mukuryaras of Krishna, that's not a deviation, is it? I mean, once one's on that level.
It's true, there are many girlfriends and boyfriends of Krishna. And there's only one Radharani, one Lalita, one Vishakha, one Subal. And when one covets their mood of service or their type of love, then one wants to be their servant or their assistant. One doesn't want to become equal to them. And not directly their servant, but the servant of one's own spiritual master who's their servant. But it's, in one sense it's direct, because everyone, all are associating as friends.
Did you say about the spiritual master and master?
We have our spiritual master here. So, when we go to Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, we'll find that the main associates, like Lalita, Vishakha, Nanda, Yasoda, Subal, Shidam, they have assistants and sub-assistants. So we will see our spiritual master as the assistant of one of the eternal associates. And we will not aspire to be the direct assistant of Lalita or Subal. But we may aspire to be the assistant of the assistant. But that's, if you want to be directly, see, this is like a, sort of like a material idea to want to be more important. Because in the spiritual world, the main thing is love. So there's no consideration of importance in the material sense of wanting to be bigger or superior. So we work under the guidance of the associates of Krishna, even in the spiritual world. We don't want to become equal. That's not a good That's also Mayavad. That I serve the spiritual master in the material world, then when I'm liberated, I don't need the spiritual master anymore. Like Srila Prabhupada was walking in Mayapur with some disciples, and they came to an embankment. So Srila Prabhupada, so one of the disciples went on the top of the embankment, and he stretched his hand out to help Srila Prabhupada come up. Then when Srila Prabhupada reached the top, he very abruptly withdrew his hand from the hand of the disciple and began walking very quickly ahead, leaving the disciple behind. So the disciple was thinking, oh, maybe I did something wrong. Srila Prabhupada is not pleased with me. Then Srila Prabhupada said that this is the idea of the Mayavadis. The Mayavadis take help of the Guru to reach a certain stage. And then when they reach the stage, they think they don't need the Guru anymore. And they leave him. But in Vaishnava philosophy, we're eternally the servant of the Guru. Even in the spiritual world. So the principle, Gopi Bharata Pada Kamalayor Dasa Dasa Nudasa, that exists in the spiritual world also. But there's no envy in the spiritual world either. So the more intimate associates of the Lord will always make arrangement for us to have the chance to do service, to get close to the Lord and so on.
It is said that Krishna is always Vijaya, the object of love. But can we say that for Krishna, Radharani is Vijaya? Can we that turn them?
Yes.
So it can be changed around. Right? The devotees and Radharani can be Vijaya sometimes for Krishna.
But in Kamanuga Bhakti, the object of love is Krishna. And the maidservants of Srimati Radharani, they also have love for Krishna. But they express their love for Krishna in their service to Srimati Radharani. And that they fulfill their desires to serve Krishna through the meeting of Radha and Krishna.
And the devotees are Ashraya. And but also in the Chaitanya community, it says that Udipana can also be the devotees. So the devotees can be both, in both categories, apart from the food and Krishna's, and the devotees also can be minded.
Udipana. Father Karcha, would you like to say anything?
Well, I think that the Alamban, too, Sharayana is right. So Alamban is one object. It doesn't matter which side you're looking. Krishna is the object of love always. And the Ashraya devotee, which is Radharani, is also Alambana. So both things are connected to Krishna. It's not that you see Radharani apart from Krishna ever, otherwise he wouldn't be Kamadhi. But that produces love for Krishna, and you serve in this particular way. You serve the Ashraya devotee. You know, that's your way of serving Krishna. He's the object and the subject. It's Radharani. That's what he was saying. You serve through her. The object is Krishna.
There may be sorts of devotees in Vraj that, you know, want to serve Radharani and not Krishna. Or want to love Radharani and not Krishna, but that's not Gaudiya Vaishnav Siddhanta.
We'll take the role of Ashraya, then becomes Lord Chaitanya, based on himself.
Yes, correct. When Krishna wanted to experience love of Krishna from the position of Radharani, or from the position of Ashraya, he took the form of Lord Chaitanya.
In the Jagadamas, he explained how this one spoke less and kept one side of the person in a power form, and another side was in part of the love. So, what also he did in the case of Shyamananda Pandit, who, when he was associated with Jiva Goswami, he developed the rule of Manjari. But as he spoke last time, he went to Chaitanya, he was in the awesome kind of consequence, so I'm just trying to understand. So, this person, from the Javadam, it appears that the spiritual master can act as a servant of Subhao, also as a presence of Mahārāja.
We already discussed this, but still we can discuss it again. That the devotee in Madhurya Rasa, the spiritual master, is the manifestation of Lalita. And the disciple in Sakya Rasa, the spiritual master, is manifestation of Subhao. But actually the spiritual master was in Madhurya Rasa. But because the lower rasas are included in Madhurya Rasa, it was not false to see Vatsalya Rasa in the spiritual master at the same time. And
that's why he had to go to the Goswami. That's why he had to go to the Goswami, because his guru was only Sakya.
Now the other deviation, besides Mayavad, which could be related to Mayavad, is Sahajya. One's Swarup, or eternal identity, will be automatically manifest in an advanced stage of Krishna consciousness. When one comes to the stage of asakti and enters into bhav. But if someone tries to imagine his swarup, before being qualified, or if he tries to dress the external body in the same way as he imagines himself in Krishna Lila, that is Sahajya. In Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada writes about the so-called Siddha Pranali, where the guru gives the disciple his identity, or his supposedly gives the disciple his identity before the disciple actually begins to realize his identity by spiritual advancement. It's like there are many Babajis at Radhakund who, when some new person comes, after 1 year or 2 years, or even after 6 months, they give him a piece of paper with a list of details about his eternal identity, his name, his form, his age, and everything. And then they're supposed to meditate on such identity. But we don't find any evidence in the history of our acharyas, or in the history of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates, of such things. If the when the disciple actually comes to this stage where he can realize his eternal identity, then it will be revealed to him what it is. So the Bhagavad-gītas at Radhakund generally criticize the disciplic succession of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur for not doing this, for not having this. So generally we would not need to mention it, but since we're in Vrindavan, sometimes the devotees go there. We should be aware. And they're also the same ones, many of them are the same ones that are trying to say that Mayapur is not where Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and their followers say Mayapur is. But they're trying to say that Mayapur is on the other side of the river, on the Navadvip side. And somehow or other, they want to attack or harass the followers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. But we should know that we're following the correct path, coming through the line of acharyas.
On the other hand, it's appropriate for one to cultivate qualifications for Loba.
Sorry?
It's appropriate, it's not appropriate to try and precipitate prematurely, you know, the realization of one's sarupa. On the other hand, it's appropriate to cultivate qualifications for greed.
Well, we should follow the process of devotional service. Yeah, by the process of devotional service and by the mercy of Guru and Gauranga, then greed may appear. But we can't force it to appear. We can't force it to appear. There's one verse written by Rupa Goswami that Bhakti Ras, if Bhakti Ras is available in the market, if Bhakti Ras is available in the market, you should purchase it at any cost. But what is the cost? What is the price? It's the intense desire to get it. But such intense desire cannot be achieved by performing pious activities in thousands and millions of lives. But if we follow the regulative principles and serve the Sankirtan movement, then by the combination of our own efforts and the mercy of Guru and Gauranga, greed may appear. Here we just began the story of Mother Yasoda binds Lord Krishna. And we can learn some good, we can get some good instructions from it. That Mother Yasoda, after Mother Yasoda set aside Krishna to tend to the milk on the fire, and Krishna became frustrated and angry and broke the pots of butter and yogurt and began to eat and distribute the contents. And Mother Yasoda came back and saw the mess. She saw the footprints of Krishna in butter on the floor. and realize that the mischief was done by Krishna. So as service to Krishna, so that he would not create further disturbances, she decided to bind him. But when she brought the ropes to bind him, they were 2 fingers too short. Then she brought some more ropes, and still they were 2 fingers too short. Finally, she brought all the ropes in the house, all the ropes in Vrindavan, miles and miles of ropes, but still she couldn't bind Krishna, because nobody can bind Krishna. But then when Krishna saw that she was perspiring, breathing heavily, and worrying that how will she bind Krishna so that he doesn't get into more trouble, then Krishna showed mercy to her and allowed her to bind him. So here we see 2 requirements, or 2 ingredients. One is one's own hard labor or endeavor, and the other is the mercy of Krishna. And both are required for success. If we think that by my own endeavor I will get Krishna, no. By our own endeavor we will not be able to. We need the mercy of Krishna. But if we think, let me sit in the house and do nothing, now just wait for the mercy of Krishna, that also is not correct. We have to make our own earnest endeavors. And then when Krishna sees how hard we're trying and becomes compassionate towards us, then he will give his mercy and then we will become successful. So both are required. Umapati Swami told one Chinese proverb. Can you say it? You're from there. Something like, watch tree get rabbit. So the background to the proverb is that some person was once standing and looking at a tree. Then a rabbit came and ran into the tree and killed himself by running into the tree. And then the man picked up the rabbit and took it home and ate it. So then he thought, why should I work? I'll just look at the tree and wait for some rabbit to run into the tree and kill himself, and then I'll collect it. So they have one proverb. Watch tree, catch rabbit. But not like that. We have to make endeavor. And at the same time pray for the mercy of Krishna, because without the mercy of Krishna, no amount of personal endeavor can be successful.
Maharaj has explained about the young child, Bala, and there's mental, there's like 33 symptoms, and I read it before, and every devotion, but I just can't remember anything about it. So
they're not mentioned in the purport?
There's one, there's just been mentioned that that one symptom of the Avatar Bhava is total despondency. And it's just mentioned that you start off with a new being, a harsh and completely despondency, and then there's no other.
Well, if it's not in the purport here, you can look in the book. There's also another place in Chaitanya Charitamrita, if it's not here. So now we'll have a quick review. Of course, we didn't actually read them, but in the first class, I asked you to read them. The different stages between Shraddha and Prema. How the devotee advances step by step from Shraddha to Prema. But even to come to the stage of Shraddha, there's some background. There must be some background of pious activities. Pious activities means unknown devotional service. There must be some background of unknown devotional service. Service to some Vaishnava. And by such service, one becomes fortunate. And when he becomes fortunate, he gets the association of some Vaishnava. And when he hears the words from the Vaishnava and gets the mercy of the Vaishnava, then faith awakens. And only when faith awakens can the person begin the process of devotional service. Regular process. What is the definition of faith? Faith is so important.
It's having Krishna all other subsidiary.
Yeah. By rendering devotional service to Krishna, all subsidiary activities are performed. In other words, one gets the result of all other activities just by the process of devotional service, and he doesn't have to engage in any other activity like karma or jnana or any. Then he can begin. Then he will regularly associate with devotees because he wants to learn more and more about the science. And when he's actually convinced and ready to take to the process, then he will begin the regular execution of devotional service. And what are the first items in the regular execution of devotional service? To accept a bona fide spiritual master, to take initiation from him, and receive instruction from him and serve him. This is the beginning of Bhajana Kriya. And then the devotee will follow the regulative principles. So what is the definition of sadhana bhakti? Those are the five most important forms of devotional service. But what is the definition of sadhana bhakti? That's part of it. Yes. Okay. Devotional service and practice. Engaging the body, mind, and words. Yeah. Well, that's the expanded definition of practice. The practice involves the body, mind, and words. So that is the Swarup Lakshana. And what's the Tatastha Lakshana? Yes. By which love of Godhead is awakened. If we only know that we have to engage in practical service, but if we don't know what the goal is, that is not complete. That is not complete. Then we'll just do the practices for the sake of the practices. We won't know that there's some goal to be achieved. Then what is the definition of Vaidhi Bhakti?
Practicing devotional service according to rules and regulations under the direction of the Spirit of Mind.
practical devotional service following the rules and regulations of the scriptures and the instructions of the spiritual master. Correct, but not complete. Govinda Dasi. Yes. Where there's no spontaneous liking, where there's no spontaneous attraction, but he does it only out of obedience to the injunctions of the scriptures or the guru. Now, what are the two divisions of sadhana bhakti? Bhakti J?
Yeah.
And what's Raga Nuga?
Spontaneous emotional service. That is spontaneous attraction.
So, if I see the maha plate and I spontaneously run and grab as much of the maha as I can, is that Raga Nuga Bhakti?
It depends on the motivation. Probably not.
Yeah. Now there's confusion because the definition of Vaidhi Bhakti says without spontaneous attraction. But it doesn't mean just because we have spontaneous attraction for Mahaprasad that it means that we're doing Raga Nuga Bhakti. There's a specific definition of Raga Nuga Bhakti that comes later, which, you know, at the beginning of Lord Chaitanya's discussion of Raga Nuga Bhakti with Samantha and Goswami.
Or desire to have a particular type of relationship.
Yes, now we're getting closer.
He's following the footsteps of one who's already in
this. Yes. It's not the relationship, but it's the mood of service. The mood of service. He covets a particular mood of service, which is found in some ragatmika devotee. And he in order to get the same mood of service, he follows in the footsteps of that associate.
That is internally and externally. The mood is always internally, I mean, by the action of the Raga Nuga Bhakti will be internally in the mood of the Ragatmika Bhakti that he follows. And his internal service for Radha and Krishna will also be in this mood. But not exactly.
Okay, now we have the definition. Now you're coming to the practice. So, Rupa Goswami says, Seva sadhaka rupena siddha rupena chatrahi tadbhava lipsuna karya rajalok anasarata. Seva means service. Sadhaka rupena, that means in the form of a practitioner, in the form of a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in our life. The form of the devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And siddha rupena means in one's eternal spiritual form. One hasn't really fully realized one's eternal spiritual form because that happens in the stage of bhava. And the stage of bhava is beyond sadhana. But when one is approaching the stage of bhava, he begins to have some idea of what his eternal spiritual form is in Vrindavan. So, here we can follow the example of Rupa Goswami, that internally he was Rupa Manjari. And externally, he was Rupa Goswami. As Rupa Manjari, he was a maidservant of Srimati Radharani and Krishna. And externally, he was a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So externally, we should act as devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as followers of Rupa Goswami, as followers of Srila Prabhupada, reading books, writing books, preaching, distributing books, attending arti, just as they did externally. And internally, we serve as an assistant or assistant of an assistant of Rupa Manjari or whatever. So here's the difference between the Vaishnavas and the Sahajyas, that they try to serve externally in the same way as they serve internally. And actually they don't serve internally at all, because they're not on the platform. But there's one man in Navadvipa who dresses like a gopi and claims to be Lalita. But here what Rupa Goswami is saying is that externally we should serve as a sadhaka, as the followers of Lord Chaitanya serve the Lord. And internally, in one's eternal spiritual identity, in one's mind, but not by imagination, not by imagination, but by advancement. But this will all be revealed when the time comes.
I read that I don't care nowhere, but here it's all my own incentives in the execution of Pragandhav in the our camp. He said in the fight, one should continue to follow the regulated principle and serve according to one's particular taste. He says, it's very deadly, like another place I find where someone will have attraction for particular service. So I don't know if that means like for a mood, like if you think it and you think it can be a mood with a mood of, you know, following Subhad or following the Gopi, or if it's really have like a particular test, like it will be only journey at the end of the spiritual life, or only creature, or if that doesn't matter.
No. The activities can be the same, but here the taste means one's internal mood. It doesn't mean that I don't have taste for cleaning my room. I only have taste for eating Mahaprasad. Here taste means one's inner mood. That one will do deity worship, but his inner mood will be in relation to Krishna's service in Vrindavan. One may clean the floor, but his inner mood will be in relation to Krishna's service in Vrindavan. You'd like to say anything? Okay. Just like if you're making laddus. Anyway, we don't want to be sahajis, but if we're actually have the mood naturally and spontaneously, we can also think that in Vrindavan, I may also make laddus for Krishna. This is practice, and Srila Prabhupada said that just like you enter school and you're in the, I don't know how many standards there are here in this system. But okay, say in America, after the eighth grade, we graduate. So Srila Prabhupada said, if you're in the eighth grade, but you're doing the work of someone in the ninth grade, then you'll be promoted to the ninth grade. So if we're in the material world and we're doing the service of someone in the spiritual world, then we'll be promoted to the spiritual world. But not by imitation, but by following in the footsteps. And especially Lord Chaitanya was in the mood of distributing love of Krishna. So we should also be in the same mood of distributing love of Krishna. And Rupa Goswami assisted Lord Chaitanya in the same mission by writing books. So we should also at least distribute books, read them and distribute them. And one day we could also maybe write. And that's how to follow Lord Chaitanya and the Goswamis and the spiritual master. But inwardly, the mood will vary. Someone will think, if I get Lord Chaitanya's mercy, I'll become maid servant of Radharani. Someone will think, if I get Lord Chaitanya's mercy, I'll become assistant to Subal. Someone may think, if I get Lord Chaitanya's mercy, I'll become a monkey assistant of Hanuman. So, externally, one will do the same activities, and one will certainly want to get the mercy of Guru and Gauranga. But the purpose, his ambition, will vary when he has grief for some particular mood of service. In Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada says that when the devotee follows the rules and regulations without any taste or spontaneous liking, only in pursuance of the order of the scripture and the spiritual master, then that is Vaidhi Bhakti. After some time of performing Vaidhi Bhakti strictly, one may spontaneously want to get up early in the morning. In the beginning, one has to get up early in the morning because that's the rule of the ashram. One has to get up early in the morning and one has to go to Mangalarti. But then after some time, he develops a natural taste to rise early in the morning, worship the deity. He thinks of so many ways it means how to improve the service of the deity. So there is an element that is not just obedience to the order of the scripture, but there is some element of taste in the sense of liking. But to actually be called Raganuga Bhakti, that the desire has to become very strong to develop the mood of service of one of the residents of Vrindavan. That's the one of the Ragatmikas. That's the definition of Raganuga. Devotional service that follows in the wake of the Ragatmikas. So that's actually the definition of Raganuga Bhakti. Okay, so I'll just summarize, because yesterday after Kurma Prabhu left, some devotees asked for some hints about what would be on the exam. And you shouldn't miss the hints. But I won't take long because... Oh, how's the class going on without Gurijan Prabhu? So I mentioned that, like, often at the beginning of class I would review the important points from the last class or classes, like even today we did. So every item that I asked the devotees about in the class, like we did just now, then some things we didn't have to discuss because the meaning is clear from the book, but still we should know. So the the difference between Ekanga Bhakti and Bahu Anga Bhakti, the nine processes of devotional service, and particular devotees who achieve success by performing various ones of the nine. And then the nine characteristics of one in ecstatic love for Krishna. And then we also discussed I mean, we didn't discuss in the class, but it's in the book about the 64 qualities, and especially the special qualities that Krishna has.
Do you suggest we memorize a lot of qualities? Or?
Which qualities?
Well, other than those four, should we go to pains to memorize them?
No, not for the sake of the exam. And that's all. There's one nice verse. Samasritaye padam palavam pravam mahat padam punyaya shomurali pavam budir vatsa padam 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 yadvi padam natesha. That the material world is just like a great ocean which is difficult to cross. But for one who surrenders unto the lotus feet of Krishna, the vast ocean becomes reduced to the size of a puddle that forms in the hoof print of a cat. That although there is danger at every step, the devotee can cross over it. So, by the mercy of Krishna, because you're all surrendered to Krishna, you'll be able to cross the ocean of tomorrow's examination. Srila Prabhupada ki.